Well, good morning. It is Thursday, and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for being at the other end of the radio waves, the telephone lines, email machine, the Twitter device, and all the multitudinous ways that we have to communicate with one another in this modern day and time of just instant interfacing. It's such a wonderful thing, and we're ready to talk to you. We've got some real wonderful stories to share with you this morning, because for most of us, we probably can remember a particular point in time back when we were little kids and we were in school, and when it came time to read before the class, that shock just went through, that fear energized every synapse, and we're going, oh no, they're going to make us read. And then one day it suddenly became clear, and all of that jumble of symbolism and things and the words we couldn't pronounce just sort of fell into place, and suddenly you could read. It was a magical moment. Do you remember what your magic moment was when it came to knowing how to read? Well, that's one of the things we'll be talking about today, because we have folks with the Literacy Volunteers of Leon County who are here with us. And we were talking a moment ago about kids reading, and yeah, they're involved in that too, but primarily the group is involved with having grown-ups read. And you wouldn't think that'd be a problem today, but we're going to find out just how big that problem is. So let's go around the table and we'll meet some really neat people and invite your conversation as well here on Perspectives. First, let's say hi to we'll go from my left and your right as you're looking at the radio there. We'll say hi first to Larry Strickland, a board member of Literacy Volunteers of Leon County, recently elected president, incoming president here of the Tallahassee Builders Association, and actually was a client of the Literacy Volunteers. Good to see you, Larry.
Good to be here.
Yeah. Right next door to you, we'll say hello to Bill Zuna, who is also a math tutor, actually, with Literacy Volunteers, lifelong number cruncher, former Navy flyer, Annapolis grad.
Go Navy.
You bet. My whole family. We'll have to tell some more stories after this one's over here. MBA from FSU, worked for City Tallahassee, State of Florida, and a TCC adjunct professor on top of everything. When do you have time to do things like come in here and talk?
Well, I decided to retire first.
Well, Bill wanted to talk to you a little bit here about the math component also of Literacy Volunteers, since that also is part of what constitutes literacy, particularly in this age of STEM here today. And we thank you for coming in. We have also Kendra Mitchell, another Literacy Volunteer of Leon County board member, doctoral student at FSU, will earn it this year, and just learned she's getting a Fulbright scholarship to teach English in South Africa for a year starting in January. What was that like to find that out?
Ah, breathtaking.
Oh, my God. That is wonderful, Kendra. Wow.
Thank you.
Well, want to get your experiences here, too, as well as the person sitting next to you, who is Rhonda Cooper, Program Director of Literacy Volunteers at Leon County for the past 9 years and an English teacher by trade.
Yes. Yeah. I come by this naturally, I guess. Right? Reading, language.
Well, a little bit of background then on the organization there, if you could, Rhonda, how this got started. Because Gail Workman, who helped us set this up, said that, God, it was back in the early 80s when she got involved. And that's when the program kind of got started? Or?
So the library had been sponsoring reading tutors in their location way up, I guess, on the Northwood Mall area. And they, in the late 70s, the extension program at the library really promoted that and was helping support that program. And then in 1982, the volunteers got together and they incorporated as a nonprofit, Literacy Volunteers of the Big Bend. And so they've really been established as that nonprofit agency and affiliated with the library all these years. In the late 90s, the library actually sponsored three positions. The program director position, which I currently hold, and there's an ESOL, English for Speakers of Other Languages, program that they support. And then in 2001, they brought on a family literacy coordinator position. So that's been really helpful, and we're one of the few really truly supported literacy programs in the state of Florida that have that full library support like that, and that helps a lot because it allows us to focus our energies not on raising money for salaries but raising money for the programs.
Bringing back some memories there of the days when the library was located in the basement of the Northwood Mall, which is now, I guess, the Department of Business and Professional Regulation out there at Northwood Center.
Yeah, it was before my time, but I see all the pictures at the library.
It was
great.
Yeah, and it was right there where it was so damp because it sat on that little hillside there and backed up to the groundwater. And so it always had this interesting atmosphere inside the library. Today you have, though, a pretty significant number of volunteers, right?
Yeah. Currently we're running about 177 volunteers for a month who are working. The ESOL tutors may be working with a small group, but the adult literacy volunteers all work with just one client. It's a very intensive one-on-one program that we have. And then we have volunteers who work in the family literacy program in an after-school tutoring program and then are working with parents down there who are working on literacy skills or workplace skills, like computer training, that sort of thing. And so at any given moment during the month, we'll have upwards of 177 volunteers checking in.
Wow. And how many clients?
So we're probably at about 150 clients because we've got volunteers who are working with small groups. Wait, I've said that the other way around. We have almost 200. There's about 25 more clients who work with – who are in groups who aren't necessarily getting a one-on-one tutor. And that's all in the ESOL program.
Okay.
Adult literacy is always one-to-one.
All right. Well, I want to find out how this works. So Larry Strickland, I mean, you actually came aboard as a client. How did that happen?
I've struggled with literacy for most of my life. I never really did well in school. And I started with trying to learn how to use a computer. And without basic reading skills, it was almost impossible. And I had all but give up trying to take computer classes and all. And my wife, Gloria, is the one that actually called the literacy program and set up an appointment. And I got involved with the program, and I was in the program for approximately 2 years. And my reading skills have improved drastically, and now I'm able to somewhat keep up with today on a computer.
That must have been like having a whole world open up, though, huh?
A whole new world to me, yes, sir.
Wow, that is it. And certainly has not hurt your situation here with the Tallahassee Builders Association either, right?
Well, it's still a struggle.
Yeah, but as incoming president now, I mean, that is no small shakes in a town like Tallahassee that has, even during the housing downturn, we still had more growth than most places in Florida. So how is the housing situation in town, by the way, now?
It seems to be improving. During the downturn and all, we were told that Tallahassee would be the last to come back. And so it looks as if this year is going to be a better year for the housing.
Well, I hope so. And you guys always do a great job of things like, pray to homes and all that kind of thing, too. So
coming up soon, Mother Day's weekend.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's when things really, really get busy.
Can I just add, Larry's situation isn't uncommon for us, that we'll get family members who recognize that their partner, their spouse, a sibling, a boyfriend, a girlfriend need help, and they'll be very – I mean, without the support of the family, it's really hard for those adult literacy clients to succeed. They need somebody behind them helping them along the way. It's somebody wants to do this, but you really need somebody else who's right there backing you and saying you can do it. It's, outside of that relationship they develop with their tutor, having somebody – Gloria's fabulous – somebody like that, it makes a big difference in the success of our clients.
How many other folks may be out there that could really use the intervention of literacy volunteers of Leon County, but just that overcoming that, I can't admit this to anyone, not even myself, that I need help in this area?
Well, the data that we have access to, and this is based off census reports, which we know don't capture all of it because they only record ages 25 and above who identify as not having a high school diploma. And so we know there are 18 to 24-year-olds who are there that aren't being captured by that. But there's about 18% of the community, Leon County community, that could benefit from literacy services. And that doesn't mean that 18% of the county can't read. But that means that there are people who, according to the National Assessment of Adult Literacy, fall into what they call basic or below basic level. And that means that these are people who struggle to read their prescriptions, who, like Larry, are finding challenges in using computers. They can't be trained to use computers because they can't keep up in a computer class because it requires your ability to read pretty fast. And maybe have problems with computing, which is why we've brought on people like Bill for math tutoring. The definition of literacy has changed over the years, and so the skills that people need have changed. And so, again, the data we're showing is about up to 18% could benefit from some kind of literacy help, be it reading or math.
Okay. Kendra, Mitchell, talk a little bit about your experience and your involvement here with the Literacy Volunteers.
I started actually in 2007 when I was working as a staff member in the FAMU Writing Center. And the staff needed ESOL assistance. And I was looking for free resources. And so instead of putting the staff through it, I decided to go through the training myself just to see what I could learn. And I didn't know that my experience would be changed forever, especially about how I could actually make a tangible impact on the community I lived in. And I had a client at that time, and she was studying for the MCAT, and I was studying for the GRE. And so they paired us because we were both dealing with the standardized tests. And what I found was not only a client who was self-motivated, but a lifelong friend. And so that experience really helped open my eyes and my perspective on what it means to be, quote unquote, illiterate or functionally literate, and what the challenges are for people who are dealing with multiple languages. And so that actually inspired even all the way to my dissertation studies. But I now, serving as the board president, it caused me to give back in a different way. I didn't have the time to volunteer, to work one-on-one, and that really actually is where my heart is. So I decided to come back, and the board so graciously had me to serve, and this is what my fourth year serving on the board, and I love actually making sure or doing whatever I can to make sure the board is actually continuing to support the aims and initiatives of our community.
And soon to take off for South Africa. That is so exciting. Wow. We're talking to some members of Literacy Volunteers of Leon County on the board and leadership positions. We'd love to hear your story when it comes to any kind of challenge you've ever had with literacy, be it verbal or numerical. And Bill Zuna, we're going to be talking to you about that when we come back here on Perspectives. 414-1234, 800-926-8809. We shall return. Literacy Volunteers of Leon County here with us, Bill Zuna, Rhonda Cooper, Larry Strickland, and Kendra Mitchell. And Bill being our number guy, that is part of today's literacy. As Rhonda was saying, Bill, that if you cannot operate in the world of numbers, you're dead, right?
Well, that's true. And I guess about maybe a little over a year or so ago, I was sitting one morning reading the morning paper, and my wife was wondering what I was going to do with the rest of my day, and I happened to see this ad that was placed in the paper for math literacy tutors. And I kind of went, wow, you know, I kind of think I'm trying to find something to do to kind of contribute back to the community. So I contacted Rhonda and her staff, and sure enough, I was, I guess, one of the few, the inaugural math tutors to enter the program. So I've been doing it for about a little over a year now. I have two very fine people who I'm working with now. I enjoy the heck out of Rob and Lillian, and say hello to them if they're listening. And in any event, I really kind of enjoy seeing that eureka moment when you are working with people and all of a sudden they see something and the light goes on. And to me, I find that very satisfying.
It's almost impossible in today's environment, though, for any adult to function without at least a basic grounding in computational skills.
Well, I think so, and I think maybe some people are a little deceived by the fact that, well, you know, today almost, you know, if you have a calculator, you have a computer, so why should I bother? All I got to do is know how to smash the buttons on the machine, and I can get to my objective, whatever it is. And I think that what people are realizing that come into the program is that it's also a skill. It's a developed skill, a mental ability. That basically requires some reasoning and some logic, and I think after a while they find out that I need to practice this a little bit more. I just don't need to rely on the calculator or the computer. I need to use my mental abilities a little more strongly in the quantitative areas. To help me with my life or my job.
Yeah, like how do you set up the problem before
exactly.
you go in to do that? Just like, Larry, when you're dealing with something in the building trades, how do you – I mean the amount of geometry that's required there is just incredible. And how do you get the angles and everything in the square footage and all that figured out, right?
Right.
So that's not just reading. It's being able to actually formulate. Let's see, what was it if if Larry leaves Chicago on a train that's going 30 miles an hour and Bill is, you know, that kind of thing you have to figure out there. We had a couple emails back up. Let's go to those first here. Tell me about Summer Brain Camp at the B.L. Perry Branch Library and why should children attend? I mean, summertime is a time for kids to be out and, you know, in the swimming pool and having fun and not in the library. Come on, Rhonda.
Right.
Jeez.
So the summer brain camps are something we started about 6 years ago now. And it's for those we're trying to sort of address this issue of summer slide. So a lot of children don't have opportunities to go to some of the area day camps where they're being exposed to different experiences and learning opportunities and that sort of thing. So we brought in – it's about 2 hours of programming. It's Tuesday through Friday. It's free. And we bring in presenters who are going to talk about different areas. We tend to focus a lot on science and nature things just because those are the presentations that are kind of lively and engaging. And but we have done in the past – we've done reading book groups. We've done we've had some math students come in. We have a professor who's going to do a math workshop over the summer for some kids. He has specific things he's looking at. But we're trying to offer opportunities for kids who aren't able to attend summer camp, someplace where they can come and get some fun activities in and also kind of keep supporting their brain, kind of staying in a mode that when they get back to school at the end of the summer, there hasn't been that typical slide in skills that is often referred to.
And now with all of the testing situation being such a moving
kind of crazy.
Target, we have no idea what's going to be coming at the kids. But if they have the basic tools to deal with whatever comes, they're going to be in better shape, right?
Absolutely, yeah. That's the focus. And we know that children who are exposed to things over the summer – They're sort of already primed when they get back to school. It's not going to take quite as much work on the part of the teacher to kind of refresh them about what's been happening. They've kept up with their language because they're having presenters talk to them who are introducing them to new ideas, new concepts, new vocabulary. They're doing activities that sort of focus around those things that incorporates reading and writing and in some cases some math. we're trying to kind of work with those kids that we want to help them be able to be successful when they come back in school in the fall.
Oh, no, you got me with a real case of the guilts because many, many years ago, I think it was probably fifth grade, I'm thinking I had promised my teacher that over the summer I would read and report on Pride and Prejudice, and I never did. And
oh,
now
Pride and Prejudice was your problem.
Yeah, you think? certainly not like the Age of Ultron. It's not one of the more, exciting pieces of literature on the planet, but it's one everyone should read, so we can go on there. Susan wanted to know, how does the Literacy volunteers of Leon County Mission address the special needs of the developmentally disabled. A lot of stuff happened during the legislative session on that, most of which was kind of dropped like a rock, sadly, when the plug was pulled. But how do you deal with that? That's a very special group.
That's a really great question, because we do get families who call up and ask about getting services for developmentally disabled adult clients. People who work with the developmentally disabled successfully have undergone lots of training most of the time, and we don't train our volunteers to have those kinds of skills that are necessary to be helpful to that population. And it's I would love to let me back up a little bit. So I have volunteers who identify as having had special education background. And if that's the case, and I've got a client I know who has some learning challenges, then I'll try and match those together. But there aren't very many resources out there for those adults who fall into that category. And I wish there were more places that we could refer them. But again, because we're working with volunteers and the types of materials we're using are designed for a population, we can deal with some mild learning disabilities, but we can't deal with some of the challenges that those clients bring. We would be really happy to teach volunteers who have been identified as wanting to work with that population. If there was an agency or an organization that said, hey, we've got 10 volunteers who want to work with this group, we would train them with the materials that we use and the training that we provide. But it's not set up to deal with some of the challenges that they bring. But I'd be happy to have a conversation about any agency that wanted to address that issue and how we might collaborate. That'd be a great discussion to
get into. Well, that dovetails perfectly, I think, with a query that's coming in now via phone. Kip is up next here on Perspectives. Hi, Kip.
Hi. How are you today?
Hey, wonderful. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Wanted to support your great guest, Larry Stricken, super guy there.
Yay, Larry.
The question is this. How can those of us community who are fortunate enough not to have an issue, how can we support literacy volunteers if maybe we wouldn't be a one-on-one volunteer? Is there other ways for the community to support the literacy volunteer program?
Wow, wonderful question, Kip. Really appreciate that. I see nods of affirmation all around the table like, yeah, okay. So what do you need, Larry? as a board member, though, for community connection to literacy volunteers, what kind of things you think would be useful?
I would think the best would be fundraisers. Am I correct, Rhonda?
Supporting us in our fundraisers, absolutely. That'd be great. The money that we get from the fundraisers, it all goes into buying books and materials and then training materials. So it goes directly to services for the clients.
So you guys do not avail yourselves of vast quantities of cash from either the state or local, right?
No. The library supports us with salaries, but the materials that we use with the clients and then the things that we're able to provide, the books, the materials, the software programs we use on the computers, those are all purchased through the Literacy Volunteer Agency. So coming to our fundraisers, which is a nice segue into the fact that we have a fundraiser coming up May 27th. Theater Tallahassee is doing a presentation of Murder on the Nile, an Agatha Christie story. And as they do for many agencies, they're allowing us to do a benefit night. So tickets are $20. There's a pre-reception show at 7, beverages and finger foods, that sort of thing, and the curtain at 8, as usual. And they always do a great production, and they're always very helpful to us in our other big fundraiser, our Reader's Theater. They help with costuming and suggestions and stuff like that.
Yes, and so. Who does not love Agatha Christie? And Murder on the Nile was one of her
That's what you should have said
best.
You were going to read that summer in fifth grade.
That'd be a lot better than Pride and Prejudice, that's true. And in case you're just – which one was that? Because she wrote so many. This was the one where, if I'm recalling correctly, a clergyman and young honeymooners and a whole bunch of suspicious folks were cruising down the Nile. And then one of the tourists was murdered, and it became a huge whodunit in a really dramatic and exotic locale, and it's really, really neat. So let's bounce back on the phones here and say hi to Jerry here on Perspectives. Hello, Jerry.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Well, I want to support Larry Strickland. He's a good friend of mine, and he makes me boil peanuts, so that's a real plus. But we support the literacy volunteers. He's gotten us involved as other builders in the play that you all have every year. And it is always so much fun. So, and I'd just like to say that we support Larry and support literacy volunteers, and we'll be there every year.
Oh, that's great, Jerry. We really appreciate that. You got a lot of pals there, Mr. Strickland. Well,
everybody loves Larry.
Well, we can tell that. You're two for two, so I think we're doing pretty good there. Looking ahead, if we could, Bill, zoom into what's going on with the whole math thing. It would seem, though, literacy volunteers, though, starting with a more verbal focus now, and with the addition of you on the board and the volunteer staff kind of branching out into that. Do you need some more volunteers to help out with the mathematical component of that?
Well, I've noticed a head nod over here to my left, my director, and I think, yes, we certainly do need more volunteers. I think the thing that I've noticed in the short time that I've been doing it, that these folks are looking, I think, to many of them are looking to, let's say, be able to pass the GED to kind of get that merit badge so they can kind of move on. And the difficulty to a certain extent is I think those curriculums move them so rapidly through so many areas so quickly. And like I've learned over my life is that really, you know, utilizing numbers for success is really a skill. And as like a skill like anything else just takes lots and lots of practice. And I think that's the big hurdle that a lot of these folks find is they're moving through so quickly. They get a good grade on a test. 2 weeks later, if you take them back over the material, mm-hmm. they've kind of forgotten exactly what it was they've done. It's almost kind of like, you know, I can teach you the scales for music. I can teach you how the notes work. I can teach you music theory. But don't ask me to sit down and start playing a piano. So, you know what I mean? I have to.
Well, it is a language.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Kendra, what do you see as the big challenge on that too? Particularly when it comes to dealing with folks who, I mean, skated right through school for whatever reason and then find themselves, boom, in adulthood and aren't able to function the way that they should.
Well, I think you just stated the problem or the challenge. And one of the challenges we stated earlier was actually acknowledging it and taking ownership of that and realizing that you have a resource here in literacy volunteers. And we are available for the most part for those who to transition into owning that knowledge and not just actually having it pass through, so to speak. And so I think that is a part of the challenge. And I think what we are doing now, getting the word out, and for those who support our fundraisers, and even if you can actually do ongoing or sustained giving, you don't even have to have a reason to give to literacy volunteers. And I want to encourage that, as well as participating in our board. We are recruiting for board members, and we have some people like myself transitioning on, and we need others who are just as invested, who are not only willing to give their time and their money, but also their ability, their knowledge base, and their time, their expertise in developing and expanding our opportunities for our community.
Yeah, when you look at the academic community we have here at Florida State, at FAM, at TCC.
We have a wealth of knowledge, and it's swimming around us, and we want to make sure that wealth of knowledge stays in our community.
Yeah, and our people are also able to deal with what you said, that self-realization. And now, Larry, you had some motivation there. You had someone pushing, saying, hey, come on, let's get this done. But for those folks who are in a position where they're going, wow, you know, I've been able to fake it pretty doggone good, but I know that there's a lot of stuff I need to bone up on and some skills I need to develop. There's no reason to avoid that because people are going to laugh or they're going to think badly of me or that type of thing, right?
Going through the program, that's about what I expected. When I would tell people after I had been through the program, well, you know, I've been through the literacy program. It was such a positive response that I got from everybody. I said, man, that's great. But I really expected the opposite.
Yeah, because that's something you don't want to admit, you know, that, my gosh, I have this deficiency, and of course it's all my fault or, you know.
Right.
because today everybody can read. I mean, that is assumed, mm-hmm. and you can read at a pretty high level, and that just is not true. What about people who, I mean, have been able to function, but you can always push it a little bit further?
Lifelong learning.
Exactly, Kendra. Yeah, yeah. And that would be an opportunity for literacy volunteers of Leon County to jump in there too, right, Ronnie?
Right. So we get clients, you know, we have clients who are coming in at a very low level, but we also get clients like Larry who have some reading skill. They have some ability, but it's not enough to allow them to accomplish the goals that they've set for themselves. So they come to us, and if they fall into the category that, you know, where we feel like we can help them, then we work with them to try and enable them to accomplish those goals. And it's a very client-centered program. And this is why it's a labor-intensive program. It's why the volunteers we have are so critical. I really want to stress that we have fantastic volunteers, and we have volunteers who have been with us for years and years and years. It's phenomenal, the tenure that some of our volunteers have had. Bobby's been with us for 15 years, and she's taken clients from that basic illiteracy level up to the point where one of her previous clients is now attending Bible college. So wonderful. It's pretty phenomenal. We also have clients who come to us who've been court referred or coming out of programs in jails or prison systems, and they're very motivated to work. So we're working a little bit with that population. We're collaborating. Bill's clients, one of them is at TCC in their ABE GED program. So we're very supportive of the ACE program and the TCC's GED program. Some of those clients are in those classes, and they just need a little extra help to make, as Bill said, to accomplish that goal for themselves of getting that GED, and then in some cases being able to go on into some technical programs at Lively, or in some cases just build their professional skills like Larry did, to where he's now got that confidence as well as the personality to be a leader
and the friends.
In the community.
Don't forget the friends.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I think adding to what Ron is saying, I think that the other thing that's important for people that are out there listening that perhaps maybe think that maybe they would like to do this is they should have the courage to try it, because we're not a high pressure or high intensity, rigorous. I mean, we basically allow the client to basically come to us and tell us what they need.
And then we'll tell folks also how to connect with you guys here coming up on the other side of the break, which is rapidly bearing down on us right here on Perspectives. Literacy volunteers of Leon County here with us on Perspectives. 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809, perspectives@wfsu.org is the way to connect with us. And if you want to connect with literacy volunteers of Leon County, gee whiz, Rhonda Cooper, what the heck do we do? How do we do that?
So we are housed, our offices are in the public library downtown, and our number is 850-606-2644. So you can call that number and ask to get on our mailing or our email list to be notified when the next training will be, if you're interested in being a volunteer. If you're interested in getting services, then give us a call and we'll have you to come in and fill out the intake form. We'll do an interview. We'll do an assessment and get you started as soon as we can.
Okay, and is it one location for the clients?
No,
or?
That's a great question. So our family literacy program is actually down at the Dr. B.L. Perry Jr. Branch Library on the south side of town, and we also offer adult services through that program and at that site. We do have clients who are meeting at some of the other branch libraries. It just depends on if I've got a volunteer who can meet at that location. The main library and the Dr. B.L. Perry Jr. Branch Library have special tutor rooms reserved particularly for the literacy program. At the other libraries, clients have to work out in the public space, and that can be daunting if they're doing adult literacy. The ESOL clients, there's no stigma attached to not knowing another language, and so we have many clients in the ESOL program who are meeting at different locations around town. But we do our best to try and accommodate, get the volunteers to where the clients are, and, you know, or if the clients can't make it in,
Yeah, because we know transportation can sometimes be a challenge, for sure. Gail is joining us here on Line 1. Hi, Gail. Welcome to Perspectives.
Thanks, Tom. I'm glad to be here today. You know, I'm a new board member with Literacy Volunteers, but I'm not new to Literacy Volunteers. As a matter of fact, I was tickled to hear you talk about the Northwood Mall because that's how I got involved with Literacy Volunteers in 1982. I had volunteered. I was new to town. I volunteered, and I was assigned a client, a young man who had graduated from Quincy Schmidt, and he was had a great job at a carpet mill, as I recall, but his girlfriend would not marry him until he learned how to read. Mm. So he signed up for the program and came to the Northwood Mall one night a week, and we began working together. And he, although a graduate of high school, started at the basic level and worked very hard so he and his girlfriend could wed. And so that was my first experience. And then years later, I got involved. I was trained as an ESOL tutor, and I went to a Bamboo House Chinese restaurant. A Literacy Volunteers for many, many years did tutoring of kitchen workers and kitchen workers who needed to learn to speak English so they could talk to customers and become waiters and move up through the ranks. And I took on that job for the last year that we did that there, and I tutored Guatemalan kitchen workers to learn English at the Bamboo House Chinese restaurant. And it was a great experience, and Literacy Volunteers was there for a long time. So this is a cause that's near and dear to my heart.
Boy, I can really tell. And, of course, with the abundant spare time you have, Ms. Workman, because you are not at all involved in other aspects of the community, I can see why you would devote so much time to these. But it sounds like this is something not only dear to your heart, Gail, but something that you're really trying to convince other folks that if they have any inclination in this area at all, that this is something they should jump into with both feet.
Well, you know, if you don't want a tutor, if you don't have the time, if that's not your inclination, if you, you know, can't volunteer that time, it still is a wonderful opportunity to perhaps, if you're interested in serving on a board, if you want to help raise funds. Literacy is vital. What we're all about is teaching adults and families the literacy skills they need to have a good quality of life, to succeed on the job, to integrate in their community. And, you know, what's not great about that?
Can't beat it with a stick. Gail, thanks so much. And again, appreciate your help in putting together the panel and having this great group of folks around here to share their thoughts and their experiences and their invitation to the rest of the community to get involved in something that is just incredibly important. Kendra Mitchell, since Gail mentioned this, we sometimes forget the diversity of the community in which we live here. We have an awful lot of international folks in Leon and surrounding counties. And I would imagine for some of those folks, it's, you know, fluency in English and other things might be a problem. How widespread is that need?
Well, I think especially considering all of the international students that are coming as partners to those who are being recruited at our universities, I think that's something that we need to consider. For instance, the client I work with, and I worked with her for a year, her husband was getting his PhD in mathematics. And so at that time, when Alumni Villages was an establishment, most of the international students from FSU specifically was there at the same time, I was working at FAMU, and we had students from the Caribbean and students from South America attending those schools, as well as from different parts of Africa. And so the need is really, I think, something that we should be paying attention to more, not just for because the universities have organizations and programs for their international students, but the spouses, while the students are at work or teaching classes or taking classes, their spouses need to know how to earn their license, driver's license, make conversation in the grocery store. These are the kinds of conversations that we had. How do I say this? I heard this being said, and I wasn't really sure what it meant when they said kick the bucket. I wasn't really sure. So all these idiomatic expressions that Americans take for granted, I think those are just as important as how to read a novel. Some of the clients came in, and they knew because they studied, you know, the grammar so intensely, they understood how to construct a sentence, probably better than some of my students in class. But, you know, like I said, having those conversations, the pressure that's involved in actually holding a conversation with a new person was just something that I had not considered until I worked with the client that I had. And it made me even more empathetic. I was able to put myself in her shoes and to see that this was important for her, not only for her, but her child that she was rearing in a new culture. She didn't understand, you know, the cultural norms and what was happening at school and why he didn't want to do what she was doing, you know, the customs and traditions from her hometown. And, you know, now he wants to adopt these American ideals. And so all of those things come up, and it's student-led. It's definitely based on what they want to address. And those were some of the only a few of the things. So I think that's very important. Even if it's for a small population, it's still important because these people are still giving back to our community. So while they're here, we should make them feel comfortable.
Yeah, and the more that they are able to function effectively within that community, mm-hmm. the more they can contribute. I mean,
Absolutely.
It just makes sense. Email just came in. How long does it take someone to learn to read? Would seem like a really basic question.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. So the research indicates that it takes about 100 hours for someone of normal intelligence with no learning disabilities. And the way our program works, they get 90 minutes once a week, and that's if they make every week, and of course they don't. So it's, you know, nobody who comes in at level one is learning to read in a year or two. It can take 3 or 4 years for an adult client who's very dedicated to get up to about a fifth grade reading level.
That long?
Yeah. Well, you figure little kids are in school, kindergarten through third grade, 6 hours a day, mm-hmm. all day long. Everything they do in school is geared toward supporting mm-hmm. that literacy acquisition, right?
Absolutely.
And then they go home and they get read to if they're lucky and that sort of thing. So it takes little kids 3 years to even just get to a third grade level.
And they don't have families and they don't have, you know, jobs
right.
and other
they're
responsibilities.
Not. So that's all they're primed to do is learn to read. So an adult who can manage that as well as holding down a job or two, mm-hmm. taking care of their families, doing all the other things that adults have to do. On the other hand, adults bring something to the table that children don't have, which is life experience.
Right.
And that helps a lot in working with a tutor, that you can relate to things and you can talk. And they've heard language. They've been exposed to language that children might not have heard yet and that sort of thing. But I wanted to, if I may, backtrack a little bit to what Kendra was talking about with the ESOL population. When I first came in back in 2006, we had probably over 200 clients being tutored in the ESOL program over the course of a year, and a lot of those clients were affiliated with the university. But because the university has resources for many of those clients, we've really tried to encourage them to participate in the programs at the universities. And we've focused a lot more in the last 5 or 6 years on the rising population we have here of immigrants and migrants who have moved here. After the hurricanes, there was a big influx of construction workers, mostly roofers, who came into our community. And so we've got our ESOL program now it's more like 60% to 70% of our clients are not actually affiliated with the university. We had classes at Goodwill in their Earn and Learn program. We were doing the workplace tutoring like Gail did at the Bamboo House. We also had at one point 4 other locations at restaurants, 2 Mexican restaurants and a Chinese restaurant in addition to the Bamboo House. And then recently the Office of Immigration or whatever their real name is in government speak, has decided that Tallahassee is going to be a refugee resettlement relocation center. So we're starting to see a lot more clients. And we prioritize those clients in terms of getting an individual tutor what their language ability is and whether they're going to be a long-term resident here. Some of those FSU students who were happy to help are only going to be here for 6 months to a year or two. And we encourage them to go to the groups where they're able to practice their English. They've got a volunteer tutor, but we give that one-on-one tutor because there's always a waiting list for ESOL tutors. We give the priority to those clients who really demonstrate that need and or are being relocated here and that sort of thing.
That's really going to put an additional need for folks who have multiple language facility to be tutors now, right?
Yes, although we don't require you to speak another language because we want you to speak English to those clients. So if you don't – but if you have an interest in other cultures in that ESOL program, that's absolutely where you
should
be.
Yeah, and that can help facilitate the whole process
yes.
too. I was thinking, Larry, beyond your own success story, which is just – phenomenal here. Any other things you can think of here with the Literacy Volunteers of Leon County? You think, oh man, I remember this one guy or gal who, you know, her, their life was transformed by this. Can you think of anyone?
No.
Well, what do you think, Bill? Anyone you can recall right offhand? Say, boy, I thought this was going to be a tough nut to crack, but all of a sudden, boom, you know, the sky opened, the angels sang, and this person went on to wonderful things, or at least, you know, was able to figure out how to do a, I don't know, quadratic equation. Well, do we still do those anymore?
Well, I don't know. I think I still could, but I don't know. But I think, well, I haven't been in the program long enough, and like Rhonda said, that, you know, that 3 years to read or I think a lot of these folks who've come, you know, at least my experience, they're older. They've somehow picked up a practical skill of being able to push some numbers around. But to a certain extent, I think, as like been pointed out, they really haven't developed the conceptual framework to help them analyze life situations and be able to formulate a situation well enough where they can put the numbers to it and get the answer they need. And I just think that just takes time, you know.
Because it's one of the things we don't have in school. I remember you used to be able to choose when we had kind of tiered education system. You could have a form of what they call business math, which is sort of like practical arithmetic just to kind of get you through the day. Or you could go on to the academic thing with the geometry and trigonometry and all that kind of thing. But we don't have that now. So you're almost having to backpedal. When you have an adult that comes out and says, fine, I have no idea how to set this up or how to figure out the area of a circle or any of this kind of thing.
So no, that's true.
Yeah. That's a big need right there. Let's see, Kendra, before you take off to South Africa, no, any other things? Because Gail was talking about the one Quincy Shank student that it was just a wonderful success story for her. Any one you can think of that kind of stands out?
Well, I mean, I only had that opportunity to work with the one student. And, yes, she did go off to school. And so she and her husband actually relocated, and she found me on Facebook, of all places. And so we talk occasionally, and she kind of mothers me from afar. But I remember the training sessions and hearing the stories. And I think that's what actually resonates with me more than anything and what moved me to continue to be a part of this. There was a story of one of the clients who actually opened the hood of his car because it had overheated and he couldn't read the information on the under the hood. And he burned his hand. And so he touched it because it was too hot. Well, we all see that caution hot, but he couldn't see it. He just kind of impulsively moved. And so at any rate, he had an appointment that day. And he came to his appointment with his hand bound up. And he went to the board and proudly wrote his address. And that did it for me. It's like, well, this is what we all need to be doing. This is what it's all about. You know, giving people not only a second chance, but multiple chances to obtain the opportunities that will give them more access to all of the things that they need in this life. So
that is the magic happened.
Yeah. It happened.
If I could ask you, Rhonda, how does one train to be a tutor? What goes into that?
So for adult literacy, we do a 14-hour training, and we have a great trainer who has been volunteering for us for 15 years, something like that. And she has herself been a tutor. Megan Backen does a portion of our training, the kind of nuts and bolts phonics and how do you work with somebody who's at that really basic level. So the trainings happen a couple times a year. We probably are going to do one. We're actually just in the middle of trying to determine dates for May or June. So you just call our office and you get on the list and we'll let you know when those trainings are going to happen. We do some online training that's offered through our umbrella agency, ProLiteracy America. And these are these free – they take about 30 to 40 minutes to do. And that has helped us avoid having to fill up two full weekends for the volunteers in training. So the Megan's training is about 8 hours of nuts and bolts, and then we have – two other portions that we back up with. What do you do with somebody who comes in at that fifth or eighth grade level who's a little bit higher skilled and but still needs help? And then also a conversation about what it really means to be a non-reader and that we're trying to enable these people to be successful at what they want to be successful at. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to pick up the James Patterson novel when they're done with us.
The number to call again, 606-2644 for Literacy Volunteers of Leon County. Program Director Rhonda Cooper, thank you so much for
being
on.
Thanks for having us.
The numbers guy, Bill Zuna, thank you for being here. Of course, Larry Strickland, great story, and all the best to you, and we'll see you during the Parade of Homes. All righty. And, of course, Kendra Mitchell, all the best as you take off for South Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being on Perspectives, which is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls doing the stuff behind the scenes. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next Thursday, preview of May's big emancipation celebration in Florida's capital city. We'll talk then right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.